This is a Pinball News production.
Hello. Thanks for everybody for coming here. So I've been in the hobby probably about 15 years buying games and repairing games. About 6 years ago, I started getting into thinking about doing playfield restorations using an inkjet printer. So I got into it. The first 2 years were really brutal, a real learning curve, because like nobody really had inked playfields in the past with the inkjet technology, where you lay it in a flatbed printer and you actually print right to the plywood. So the first 2 years, there was a lot of problems. What would happen is I'd get the playfields, and when I took them out to a body shop, they would try and clear coat like two nice DuPont clear coats in an afternoon, whatever's left in their guns. So what would happen is the ink would start curdling, especially the black ink, and it would actually craze the playfields and ruin them. So over 2 years of trial and error, resanding them down, restoring them back to original, I finally processed and got the process down fine. So I'll just quickly explain the playfield stuff. There's a Stargazer out in the tournament area that's got one of the restored playfields, so you can see the quality. For the clear coating, I use the same contractor that CPR does, and I actually go to a higher standard. I tell the guy whatever it costs to make it look really nice, that's what I want. So the playfields I'm restoring right now are about $600, so the customer will send it in, and I'll sand it down and totally restore it through a whole process. So I'll start off with the playfields. Seawitch is coming up next for restorations, and I think I'll probably leap forward and start producing brand new playfields for Stern, Classic Stern, starting next year. So if you look at the Seawitch, what's that? If the art comes along, so I think what I'll probably start doing is try doing Stern playfields brand new for the classic games. So Mike Hulse has already done the artwork for Stargazer, which people see here. So there is two done already. There's two ready in finished clear coating stages, so they'll be coming back. The Sea Witch I'll probably start either the end of the year or the start of the new year. So some of those playfields will come and I'll restore them, make sure the art looks good, and then I'll probably leap forward and start making brand new playfields. So if you don't know, I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. So the guys from CPR are in the same city. So I use different contractors. I've got a six-day-a-week job, so that keeps me pretty busy, plus the pinball hobby. But what I rely on is contracting out as much as I can. So all the artwork, somebody has to do the artwork. I'm not an art guy. So that's the hardest part, is getting art in. And then I use different print shops for doing different jobs. So the back glasses here are done by another print shop in my area, and the playfields are still done on the old color span. So the printer that's doing the color span work for the playfields, he's getting ready to go to the next generation high-end printer. So the new printers that are out there, like what you see for the back glass, is they can actually print white. So they do what for the back glasses, it's printed color first and then white, and then we do a gray blocking layer to fake out the silver. So Dave Fix is going to show you some of the glasses there. So over the years, I've been dealing with Steve Young and Bob Fezzian with different ideas for doing Gottlieb product. So this year, I got the licensing approval to start being a licensee for Gottlieb LLC. So these two back glasses here, Aloha and Gaucho, Steve Young has them probably the end of this week or next week to look at and hopefully approve for production. So for the back glass stuff, I can do one at a time on demand. So I'm sitting on like 150 sheets of glass, but like I can just take whatever I want over the printer and say, print this out. If the shop isn't really busy, usually the turnaround's only 3 to 5 days. We've got an election year, so the shop got slowed down, so it was like almost 3 weeks to get some glass out. Martin.
You're saying the printer needs to print white.
Mm-hmm.
Is it also good for grain layout to do that?
No, everything's done right on the flatbed printer. So it's a high-end printer from the Netherlands. I think it's called Ose. I never get the name right or have a look at it. But, like, it does real good high-end work. My printer with the color span says there's even more technology that's even higher end than what we're using for the back glass right now. So things can only get better for the back glasses and for doing brand new play fields. So currently, like, I'm doing the back glasses, that's my push, plus the play fields. So my backlog on play fields, I'm just down to the last two sorcerers and some other free play fields for some guys for Bally titles that I'm wrapping up. So the play fields are going good. On the play field production, there's my two sign companies out of the three that I deal with for graphic work. They're sitting on CNC machines. And most of the shops, the CNC is actually sitting idle like 95, 98% of the day. So they'll be more than happy to try and do some pinball playfield production. So I've got that covered. I've got the inking covered. So the next step is like to deal with Foremost to see whether I can get some light lenses made up. Stargazer might be a problem because they use like a rounded triangle insert. C-Witch should be okay because it's just an arrow and circular light lenses. The question was, does the play field, when they come in for restoration, does it stay with the printer for the whole process? I'll just quickly go through what I do. It's kind of like different than what you've probably heard in the past. So what people normally do, you send me up a play field through U.S. Postal System, and it's valued at $20 so I don't get stung with brokerage fees or customs. So the play field comes to me. All that's left on it is just a worn-out play field with the light lenses intact. What I do is I take the play field, I just use a Black & Decker, or not a Black, a Black & Decker circular sander with this, and I sand the play fields bare. So in the past, I used to start off with like 320 grit. Right now I go right down to 120. You can sand off, and then I go up to 320 on the finishing stages. So the play field gets sanded bare, then I use camping fuel, which is Napa. So in Canada, we've got a big box store called Canadian Tire that sells everything from automotive to camping gear to just about everything. So I go and I get 1 liter cans of Napa. The play fields get wiped down. That removes any surface oil or contamination on the surface of the play field. Then the play field, over a period of time, what I do is I start using Varathane crystal clear water-based gloss for the play fields. So what I do is, like, I only do one coat a day. So the play fields will get two coats of Varathane. I use a sign shop. Since the printer can't do white, I have to mask all the light lenses and the wood areas. So the play field gets masked off for that. I spray it with auto acrylic Sherwin-Williams auto acrylic high gloss white. That gets painted, sprayed on, then the next day I just gently lift up the masking. Another two coats of Varathane, that levels it off. Then the play fields have to get mounted to a half inch MDF on the back and screwed tight. What that does, whenever you see brand new play fields or old play fields, you'll see they're either warped or racked. So what you're trying to do is get that play field as flat as possible so it can survive the inkjet process. So somebody in the past wrecked a $50,000 head or a $10,000 inkjet head, and that was the end of them doing that technology. They moved on from doing play fields that way. So my printer's never wrecked a head so far, so it's pretty good. I'll just finish up and I'll come to your question. So it goes to the printer. Usually they'll, if there's a problem with warpage or whatever, they'll weigh the play field down for another week with bonded paper or some sort of stuff to weigh it down. It gets inkjetted in the color span printer. It comes back to me. I give it another 1 to 2 weeks to cure. So the initial problem with using inkjet technology was that you have to let the UV ink cure. When it comes out of the printer, it's dry to touch, and they say it's probably 99% cured or 95% cured. If you can still smell the UV ink, you've got to let it dry longer. So on average, the play fields will stay dry and for 1 to 2 weeks. After that stage, I give it 4 more coats of urethane myself, and then it goes off to the CPR contractor who sands my 4+ layers of urethane level, and then he applies a minimum of 2 finish automotive clear coats to the play field. If it needs more, it gets more done. So like the Stargazers, the last 2 I have there, are probably getting like 3 or 4 finish coats of clear to make it look last like what you see out on the Stargazer in the tournament area.
So masking play fields, do you have any?
It's hand masking, but like the time saver is I go to a sign shop that's heavy into graphics. So for me to try, like I can make, tell my plotter cutter with the, or it's called Oracal 810. It's an automotive masking. It's light gray that you can use for masking automobiles with curved shapes or whatever. I find it's really good for masking the light lenses and wood areas on the play field. So I'll take it to the expert. They'll see all the arrows and the circle sizes, the wood areas that I want masked. So it goes right on the plotter cutter. I get charged, like, I think $65 plus tax an hour. They can spew out a pile of it. I supply the masking because it's not something they would normally stock. So that's time-consuming. That's what I have to do with the old technology color span for the play fields. But with the new technology, like for the glass work, these new printers now can print white. So you could actually, if I was going to try taking play fields to the printer that's doing my back glass, they could lay it in the flatbed printer. It could come and hit it once or twice with white, how many times you want, then produce the color layer, and then you'd be done. Some of the printers out there now actually do clear coating. So you could actually clear, get at least 1 coat of clear on the play fields through an inkjet printer.
Is there a difference in cost of the printers, or are there other colors, for example, that
The question was the cost and the difficulty using different types of ink. Right now I'm limited to whatever the printer has on that printer. So if it only does CMYK plus white, that's what I'm limited to doing. So if they had the technology where they could have other inkjets where you could actually do specialty inks, like the fake mirroring that CPR is doing is like a specialty ink, you could actually get a printer. The problem is I can't afford to spend like $250,000 plus on a printer. The print shops, they're used to printing materials, so they want to stay what's in their, you know, comfort zone for printing. They have no problems with different vinyl printers or flatbed printers, but like when you start delving off into specialty stuff, they're still not quite there. So somebody like Rick Bartlett from Bay Amusements, he probably has the money that if he wanted to get into it, he might think about doing stuff like that. So I was talking to him. He says he's buying more printing stuff, so where it's going, I don't know. I would take it that he might start getting interested in producing back glasses too. His back glasses are easy. You can ask the guys from CPR. You try making brand new play fields, they're a pain in the ass. So it's a huge process, lots of time, lots of money. Back glasses, and I don't do plastics, but they're a lot easier to do also. So on the specialty color inks, it's the same thing, like I said, with the silver blocking layer. If they were to buy an inkjet printer that, let's say, they could convert the inkjet heads and flush it easily, I would say that technology is probably almost there and that they might start getting into it. So with the... I don't think so. The Sea Witch here, if Gary just hangs, just shows that glass, it's got like, I think like an orange. I don't know if it's orange, red, or orange. But like, I find the colors are really good on like Sea Witch. All the back glasses there, like Nine Ball, Stargazer, the new Gottlieb stuff, I find the colors are good. I talked with Rick Bartlett. He's still on the fence. Like, I'm doing a strata flight. I've got the art, but the guy didn't do the blocking layer for white. So what he did was he sent a TIFF file, so it can't be easily be manipulated. And the guy sent the TIFF file, and what it is just white. So there's no windows, so that I couldn't print the glass. So when I get back, I'll ask the guy to do the windows so they're clear glass, and then be able to print a strata flight glass, and hopefully that gets Rick Bartlett acceptable for me making back glasses under Williams Valley. So at the time, like, I approached him, and it was no. So I keep approaching him, and it's no. So then I said, well, how about the EM stuff? Nobody's really going to go gung-ho on EM title back glasses. So with the direct ink, you can do one at a time, a few. So as long as somebody does the artwork, the costs aren't that bad. So if you're screen printing back glasses, you're either going to know you've got a certain volume you're selling, or you're going to be sitting on them. And that's the problem now with people doing modern back, you know, replacement back glasses. If your customers bail, you're sitting on this product, or the suppliers are sitting on this product for years. So that's the good thing about inkjet technology, is you can do one on demand. And if somebody comes, like recently, CPR, for some bizarre reason, announced they were going to do Stargaze or Incatacomb back glasses. So I've talked with Stu, Kevin, and Mike, and like, I think Mike's going to pull the pictures. But like, I'm in it as a hobby. I've got a regular job, but I'm in it to try and support the hobby. And I told these guys on RGP, I said, you try doing bullshit like this and squashing me, I'll start discounting the glass titles that you're running. And the only person that's going to be hurt is everybody. But like, you do that, I'm telling them right now, I said, you start playing games like that, I'll do something. So if I have to sell my back glasses as an incentive tied in with another one or two at regular costs, I will. And like, we'll see where the chips fall. But like, it's really annoying that I start getting art supplied by people, and all of a sudden CPR is saying, this is our project too, and we're going to do it. So I don't have the Bally Williams license for Playfield, so I really don't care what's coming out. But like, I found it very strange. Like, one of the first titles I did after Sorcerer was Space Shuttle. And all of a sudden CPR starts running space shuttles. Sure, there's a demand there, but like, all of a sudden it piqued their interest. Like, it's kind of like trying to control the marketplace. From day one, I've always said, like, this technology is freely out there around the world, so other people can get involved. So if you're into doing artwork, you can do one-of-a-kind art packages. So I've done a back glass for one guy. I won't say what it is, because it's some professional athlete, and buddy wanted a back glass that he did himself for his game, so it's been done. So the technology, it's the same as this here. It looks really good. I've done the Ghostbusters. The Playfield was done with an overlay, so I volunteered to do it. The guy sent up the artwork. We printed an overlay, and when he got it, I think it was like 12% too large. So it wasn't our fault. It was some problem with him with his file or whatever. So he resent it up, and he got the Playfield overlay back, and he's got the pictures posted. He did a really good sound package on this converted Flash Gordon game into a Ghostbuster scene. So the possibilities are out there for doing customized pinball machines now, so you can do just about anything. So like, you take, the CPR guys are always talking about Vegas or whatever it's called. So you could do Dolly Parton as a retheme into anything you want, any other game that's worn out. If you can do a Photoshop or better art quality package, the inkjet technology can do it. So right now we're at, I always ask for a minimum 300 DPI or better for an art file.
What do you need for art? Do you need a big file, or do you need a separate image file, or what?
It's very easy for people that are into doing Photoshop or all the art packages. So what we need to produce the back glasses is you need a separate color art file, and then you'll do a white blocking art file. So that would be all white except for your clear glass windows. So you need the white layer, and then you need a finishing gray blocking layer. So that would be the windows removed, and like your game over, high score, shoot again, anything that's backlit, you need to do that text, and then the inkjet technology will actually print it. So you see this when it's lit up with a light bulb, it looks very similar to what was originally in pinball machines or back glasses.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, my website's called greatpinball.com.
If you're willing to just take some, you know, file it as old as some, and just put it there as a sample, so that we say, oh, if I was this big and had this, and you have to take this out, I'll make my custom one before you do some stuff.
Mike Hulse is my art guy, but I think the simple answer to that is you would measure your glass, and you could use any type of flatbed scanner. So if you can remove the top off of a flatbed scanner, flip it upside down, usually they'll work. If you got access to a scan jet, a Hewlett-Packard one that's been discontinued, I think, 8 or 10 years ago, that one could actually scan sideways, upside down, whatever way. So you'd piece it together and then stitch it together, and then you could use that and then change your artwork. Or you could just go to whatever file you're using, say, these are my dimensions, put in your display windows, have that like a proper, you know, boxes that's clear, change the color, and then you got the white layer. And then the gray layer, you could just put your text where it's supposed to be lit on top of that file. So it's very easy. Like I say, if you can do Photoshop or something that's really good quality, it can be printed.
I think this question is, could you provide a checklist of how to know if your submission is ready? Now, all the different characteristics have these file formats or this size, et cetera.
The question was, could I check? I could check with the printer, so you could send the file into the printer. The print shop I have just has like a dump server file. So if you just say this is so-and-so title, they have no idea. Like I go over there and I go, I don't know what's coming in or whatever. So I ask people to put pinball as a first word and then either your name or whatever backlash you're doing. Because what happens is they leave all the information, it's secure, but all the information just comes into their server. Unless they know they're looking for it, it's just on like 3 pages of projects on the go or status unknown. So it's really hard to pull it. So the main thing is just to put pinball, you upload it, and then I could ask them to have a look at it. They look at it and they say, like these ones here are Gacho and Aloha. They looked really good, but there was a lot of, I would call dirt in the image, like for the either the white or the gray blocking layer, so they had to manually go in there and clean it all up. So I paid for that out of my own pocket. Usually the stuff that comes from Mike Hulse and a few others, the air quality is good to go. Like it goes to the printer and like everything should be ready to go.
I think what you're looking for is a template file. Yeah. It doesn't have to try to figure out the PPI. There's probably only a handful of the size of that question. So I guess you're hoping that on your site you can have, you know, 24 by 30 back glass and print the PPI. You can download that file and then draw stuff in there, scan stuff in there.
That's a good good response. I think that can be done. So like I'll talk with Mike Hulse and the guy who manages my website. And if there's a template where I can help the guys out for white, and you take the white and then you can use it as a gray blocking layer by putting in the other stuff, it would save you the time, give you the sizes that I know the back glass is. So the stern back glass is 25.5 by 28.5 by 1/8 of an inch thick. The older style Bally glass was 3/16 of an inch thick. So the Gottlieb stuff you see here is 3/16. There is some 1/8 inch Gottlieb stuff. So yes, when I go back, I'll try and make up some templates to help the guys out. So then you could just take that and put your color in and manipulate your gray blocking layer.
Did you describe the process for making, you know, the barreling and printing and that sort of thing? Can you describe the process for back glasses? Does it just print directly to glass, or do you have some layers underneath there?
Yeah. The problem I had about 3 years ago, I came out with the Seawitch glass, and I actually used films. And I sold the glasses, I think, around $200, and it probably cost me at least $200 or more in time and labor. So that was very, very labor-intensive. It was colored ink to clear vinyl. That would be applied, wet applied. Then I would put a white sheet on. I would physically cut out the windows by hand. And then the gray blocking layer, I was using a brilliant chrome film that was super thin, and the stuff would tear, and I'd have to patch it. So that was just to prove, back then I was in the play fields, and I said, well, I'm going to show I can do back glasses too with some technology. And at that time, we had been using the color span for doing inking to glass. So there's a Paragon video of David Fix seeing the color span in action. I think he said it had like 250,000 hits over the years, which is pretty amazing. The problem we had with the color span is the ink appeared like it's very thin going on glass. This stuff, I think, is a little heavier saturation going on the glass. So the problem initially I had with the color span doing glass was, one, it didn't do white, so that was a big hurdle, and it couldn't do a blocking layer, which was another big hurdle. So it's great on doing play fields, they're outstanding, but for back glass, it couldn't be done locally for finding a shop. So I was lucky enough to find a shop that does, initially they were doing classic play fields, they're, I guess, whatever you call that, so you burn the image to the screens, I forget the term, but they would do like the image on black and they would lay it on the screen and burn it into the screen, wash it, and then use it. So they were doing initially that, now CPR does that work themselves. So I found out, talked with the manager of production over there, and he was very receptive to looking into the possibility of doing back glasses on demand. It's something they don't normally do. So it's all just a regular printed material. So the back glasses are really easy. It just goes in, like I say, this high-end printer from the Netherlands. They clean the glass. It goes into the printer. They do the, they reverse the image. So you get on the back side, the color's done first. Then they come back and hit it with white. Then they come back and hit it with gray. Pull the back glass off, put another one in. So it's just a matter of the technician going over and printing the print button for each stage. So for the Stern stuff, it's three stages. For the Gottlieb stuff, it's actually four stages. So if Gary wants to pick up one of those, if he wouldn't mind, what Gottlieb LLC does is they require a licensing information on the glass. So it's a requirement. So if he turns the back glass around, he'll see on the bottom that there's actually, it says, I think Gottlieb LLC under license 2012. So that's to designate that I am an official Gottlieb licensed vendor producing this glass under license through the Mondial Group, which is Bob Fezian. So the deal is each glass that's done goes to Steve Young for quality inspection. So Steve gets a glass to inspect, and then it's his glass after that. He gives the okay, hopefully, and then I'm good to go for selling that back glass title. So on the Gottlieb stuff, Shea and Webb, and CPR is getting out of the Gottlieb stuff, but Shea and Webb, there's a master list that I have access to, so I can see if somebody asks me about an art file, I look at it and I say, that art file is available. No one seems to be doing that back glass in the past, so I'm probably good to run that back glass. I've talked with Ron Webb because, like, he doesn't really want to sell to international customers for glass production. So I broached him on, well, maybe you kick me the spa color files and I'll get it into a CMYK file and I can do glass on demand, and he would get a commission per sale, same as Gottlieb does. So I'm hoping that works out so that the international guys can start getting some of the Gottlieb titles. I've talked, like I've sent a message out to Shea. I don't know if they're waiting to see what the product looks like, whether it gets the full approval, but like they haven't communicated with me, so the status is unknown on working with them. So they keep producing lots of glass, so it's really good.
Yes. With your process, do you do mirrored glass?
At this time, no. So what I was alluding to in the past about maybe using fluorescent inks and mirroring, if a print shop is willing to go that route and get like separate ink wells for the specialty ink, I think it can be done very easily. But like at this stage, the print shop that's doing my glass work, there's no space and they don't want to get involved with the cost. So as the cost of the stuff comes down, I think eventually what you'll see is like the Chinese will come in and like all of a sudden like Joe Blow can buy like a $10 flatbed inkjet printer, maybe like a cruise scanner be the same way, right? You go out and all of a sudden all this technology's out there that you can use. I bought a plotter cutter from China and it was like less than $1,000. But like the software is a little bit too hard for me to figure out, same with drawing programs, so it's cheaper for me just to contract it out. No, I think you can just take an art file and it can be digitally printed. So whatever you want to do, you know, like I say, the Miss World CPR Ransom backlasses, I sent Stu the topless version and he was too busy to finish it up. I don't know what's up with that. So it's probably another whatever, so I don't worry about it. So I moved off of that, but like you could do customized artwork for anything. So if you wanted to do anything in your house, if you had a glass door and you say, hey, I want that pinball machine, as long as it's not like a license that's going to come back and bite me in the ass, you could do it. But like if it's a one-off for the person, you're probably okay because I'm not reselling to the general public. It's your custom artwork, then I could probably print it and run with it. So CPR and myself, we buy our glass from a manufacturer in central Canada, in Montreal. So it comes down, I buy, you know, $1,500 to $2,000, and what it does, it gives me free shipping and free crating. So it's just the cost of the glass. Our cost of the glass is probably 40% higher than what the Americans pay. But like, you have to buy it where you can, so that vendor is usually reasonably to work with, even though they speak French. I'm English, so there's kind of like a language barrier, and then there's a barrier on what the customer wants, the same as CPR has had the same thing. You'll communicate, you'll send emails, and you say, no logo stamp. And these idiots will still put the tempered logo on the glass. And then you call up, the latest thing I had some glass come in, and the lady from customer service goes, well, it's tempered glass, so we're going to stick the tempered logo on it anyway. So that's our policy. And I go, your policy wasn't like this for the last 2 years for me and CPR. If the customer doesn't want no logo stamped on the glass, that's what you'll do. So they thought about it, and then I got credited. But, like, it's like craziness. Like, they'll put a sticker on some of the glass, every single piece of glass, and it says, no logo, and all the information, and the guy picks it up, puts it in the crate, and it flies through the system. So last year I complained, a big shipment, I had a bunch of glass, and I said, you either take it back or I'm getting it for free. So they said, we don't believe you, so I went back. Well, my next order, they did the exact same thing. So I said, forget it. I said, you're not getting back. I'm just going to give it away or whatever, and you credit me. So that's what they're doing. But, like, it's really bizarre. I've been lucky so far on all my back glass has never come in with a logo on it. But if I ask for, like, standard size playfield glass or oversized glass, they'll screw up and put a logo on it. But, like, you can't make any sense because, like, it's the same order and the logos go on. It seems like some guy just doesn't care. But, like, if I get back glass and it has a logo, it's being rejected. It's going back to the plant.
Can you do your playfield backside?
Yeah. The question was on the backside of the playfields when they come in and they're all cleaned up. What I expect people to do is remove everything. So some people drive me crazy. They send in the play fields and there's still staples there. A sander loves finding staples if I don't find it. So there goes the disc down the drain, another dollar pissed away. So then I get to dig out staples. What I didn't mention in the past is like when the play fields come in, I do inspect them. So I'll do the finger test on the light lenses. If they look like they're moving at all or going to pop after sanding, then they get re-epoxied. So I physically take them out and I re-epoxy them back in sand and it goes through the process. What I find with some play fields is there's a lot of like crappy screw holes that are stripped. I also fill those in with epoxy. But what happens is like when people get the play fields back, I tell them like they've been repaired for hole damage or this or that with epoxy. And even with all the clear coats, it's still up to the person to make sure like they pre-tap holes so they can put all the screws and bolts back in. What I've been doing lately with the play fields too is like a good idea like CPR does. When their new play fields come out, they put a gray layer on the plywood. So I'm doing the same thing. So I had the gray from William Source, or I took it into my paint store and they color matched it. So I think it's pretty close to the same color gray that the manufacturers were using way back when. Just talking about play fields, there's a real big problem with plywood quality. If you own a brand new Stern pinball, you'll see it. Like the quality of the plywood's just shit. Like dimpling, everything. Like I don't know what's going on with plywood manufacturers, whether everyone's gone real environmentally friendly and you can't use formaldehyde and a whole shitload of stuff gluing these things together, but like the quality's just not there. So what I find is like sometimes the guys, it's actually better recycling an old original play field going through a play field restoration because at least the wood's 30 plus years old. It might be warped, but like it'll flatten out back in your game. And that I find the plywood from way back in the late 70s or early 80s is a lot better than what you're seeing probably the last 15, 20 years. Any more questions? No, the question was you're not doing plastics. Could it be done? I think the inkjet technology is definitely there, and like with CPR, they're using a Chinese laser cutter, which is readily available. Like being in Canada, we're pro-Chinese. We don't give a shit. Like we'll buy from the China man. They're great at ripping everybody off with technology. So, you know, there's no military problem for us buying from China that they're going to do something. And I know the Americans are getting caught with technology going to China and people get screwed over that. But in Canada, like, we've got free trade with everybody around the world, and like the Chinaman has lots of stuff coming into Canada. So the technology's really moving along. So you either keep up with the technology or you're going to get squashed by China or India or some Far East country that's, you know, going crazy. I love coming to the U.S. because, like, in the past, you guys had all these manufacturing jobs and stuff, and now all you see is, like, all the jobs going to Mexico or somewhere else. We had the same thing happen about 20 years ago in Canada with the free trade agreement. But what happened is we lost a lot of our subplants, which were American parent plants that were in Canada because of the trade agreements. So, like, they were all old anyway. So, like, us losing this production kind of made us a little bit smarter, so you move into other stuff to do. So you guys are still finding that out now, like your jobs are going south of the border and you got to step up and try to figure out how to survive. Any more questions? If that's it, feel free to come up and have a look at the glass. Before I wrap up, anyone here has a poor sea witch? One person, you get a free glass if you got a sea witch. Do you got a sea witch? Yeah, this one here, there's two glasses I brought to the show where I didn't pick up that the tempered glass was actually chipped before it got tempered at the plant. So they got printed, but like the trim will definitely hide it, so you won't know. So you can feel free to grab that glass. The Stargazer is actually going into a game here at the show. So I don't know if there's one or two Stargazers out there. I think there's two. Okay, so this back glass is going to get the trim kit, and you'll be able to see it lit up. Just before I wrap up, like, there's been questions about, you know, how does it look backlit? I had the first show at PinFest, and like they were putting in games, and I thought they were outstanding. There was some video there done of the show. So the guys, I think, that do the pinball lifts, they had a couple of videos. They were kind of like, glass looks like crap. Next video, glass looks good. So I don't know. Everyone can have a look and take their own opinion. I think it's great. Like myself, I think the colors really pop, but like, I'm not an art guy, so like, you know, Rick Bartlett or somebody else going, the gradient's off, the color's wrong, blah, 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 blah. Like, I print whatever the art people do and what the CMYK printers do. So I think the results speak for themselves. I think you're going to start seeing a lot of pinball product that's going all the way towards inkjet technology. Just on that, anyone here got one of the Tron reruns? The new TD, 2D glass, I guess, is what they're calling it. You can definitely see banding, ink banding lines really bad on the Translite. Like, I've got it, and it looks like crap, but, like, I might take it and get it scanned and print it right to glass, get it cleaned up. So that technology is there. I don't know where Williams Valley's going with Rick Bartlett on that technology. I think a lot of the games that were done with Translites, you could actually go back and revisit and actually direct ink it to glass. So in the future, instead of getting a Translite for a game that might look a little washed out or whatever, you might start seeing a lot of backglasses for the classic games being done on glass. I think that's where it's going. On a final note, I'm not a big fan of UPS. They destroy my glass. So I use the postal system in Canada. They're happy. It's unionized jobs. They're happy to pick up some business from UPS and FedEx squashing on their heads. So all my backglasses, for the most part, I think I've shipped close to 200 glasses. Never had one broken yet. They are insured. Insurance with UPS is useless, so I don't even bother. When they kick it off the truck or drop it off the conveyor belt, it's like too bad, so sad. So if you're thinking about using UPS for glass, I wouldn't do it. I ship play fields through the postal system also, and I've never had a problem. The problem I have is like UPS or FedEx or DHL, the guys will drop the product on your doorstep, which is right on a street, and I live kind of like in a crime-infested neighborhood, so it ain't good. So like they kick it to the curb and drive away, and you don't know if they were there or not, whether your stuff's gone. So it's not very secure. The post office is a little more, they want to make sure somebody's there. If they can't do a delivery in Canada, I don't know if it's in the US, but the postal service is not allowed to leave that product there without somebody physically accepting it for a parcel, because like it can't fit into a mailbox or whatever. So what they'll do is they'll just drop you a card and then you have to go to another location and retrieve your parcel. So it's a lot more secure. I've heard horror stories where people have gotten glass through UPS and they've dropped it over hedges or kicked it off the truck. And I've had the story where they said the customer wasn't home, like they received two boxes and the glass was destroyed, so the glass never got delivered. And I called for an investigation of it, and they said it was destroyed and they were doing nothing about it. So I was out the glass I had to refund plus the shipping costs. So that leaves a sour taste in my mouth, losing money with UPS. With that, I'm going to wrap up. And like I say, if you want to come up, hold the glass, look at it from the backside to see. There is a little bit of banding in the gray, but like when it's in the game, it looks mint. So a lot of people go, well, the color's not quite right. The best thing is to come up and have a look yourself and see what's going on. So thanks, everybody, for coming.